Everyone knows the best deals are at the Sunken Valley Outlet Mall, and now our prices are even lower. Literally. Another sinkhole opened up and we are now underground. Bring a flashlight because you're going to want to see the bargains available at the Lids locker room.
That's a lot of hats.
From now until Christmas, the Yankee Candle Cave is rolling back the rock that blocks the entrance at 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. to bring you more savings. You got a little pooch? The Sunken Valley Outlet Mall is dog friendly. Your dogs help us defend against the feral cat population that has turned on us. Do you like Guess jeans? Well, I don't have to guess. You do like them. Well, bring a torch because the Guess outlet is in mole man controlled territory. The light hurts their big milky eyes. So come on down to your Christmas headquarters, the Sunken Valley Outlet Mall. It's a portal to hell. A hell of a lot of good deals.
Hey, folks, this is the Mascot Wedding Show, the Internet's Hour of Unspeakable Power. My name is David Hotta.
My name is Mac Blake, and this is episode 287, the frame job of
unbelievable severity.
Well, that was the best setup I've ever given you.
And that was, god damn it, I feel terrible already.
We are recording this in Austin, Texas at the Hodgecast Studios, the Hodge Pound. There we go. We are also your podcast lions. There it is. David, yeah. Hata, how are you doing?
Feeling pretty great about my animal impressions, first of all.
You knock it out of the park every week.
I do. I'm doing all right. I'm under the weather still for the fourth week in a row.
You'll never get healthy.
No, I forgot what it's like to feel healthy. And it's a real bummer. And on top of this whole thing going on with my breathing passages, my girlfriend left for the weekend. She left on Friday, and I was like, sweet, I got the whole place to myself. And then I threw my back out from coughing so much, so I've just been home all weekend.
Threw your back out from coughing so much?
Yeah.
Whoa, I know I'm getting you for Christmas. A coffin.
Oh. How are you, Mac Blake?
I am doing good. I went to Walgreens to get a flu shot yesterday, and a lady, as we were standing in line at the pharmacy, she walked past us, and she goes, that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to get well. I'm going to get to heaven and I'm going to be well. And I'm like, ooh, that's a grim.
I like that it was catchy like that.
But I also, it was a song to no one. But I also, is that how heaven works? Do you go in?
Heaven is for the people who pursue wellness.
No, but I mean, like, so whatever physical shape I am when I die, is that how I am in heaven?
Okay, here's the weird thing. We've talked about this on the show before.
There's no way.
There absolutely is.
Okay.
Because what if you're a kid and you die? Do you stay a kid all throughout heaven? Like, what if you want to get your DW? You're like, oh no, I'm 10.
If you don't know about that, then I don't think it's not God's job to tell you.
Yeah, but like, what if you walk past some of the other rooms in heaven and you're like, oh, the wrestling, that looks like fun.
Well, I think we're in luck because today's guest is a Bible expert. She was in town doing some shows at Cap City. You've seen her at various places on your TV. The very funny Eliza Skinner is here.
Yay, me. It sounds like your description of of heaven is just a bunch of, it's the same as being a vampire.
Yeah, exactly.
So you'd have like children who are like, I'm trapped in this angel body.
Yeah.
I just want to age.
Are there vampires in heaven?
No, because
they're not dead. They're still alive.
But the ones who do die, they're like in limbo.
I think they get so dead, they don't even exist anymore.
Okay, as a guy who just recently watched Interview with a Vampire, like, you know, when sun hits them, they turn to dust.
But they're like double dead at that point because they already died once.
Uh-huh.
And so then when they get their die on from the sun,
yes,
they are just so dead, there's just nothing left. They don't even have a soul to go
someplace.
So
there's no heaven and no hell.
That's what I think, yeah.
Follow-up question, was Imagine written about vampires?
The John Lennon song?
That's correct.
Absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so wait, when a vampire gets bit, or they're a regular person, like you're like a postal worker, they get chomped by a vampire, does that postal worker's soul then go to heaven?
No, they die. They die and their body is dead, and then all is inside of it is your soul in other people's blood.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Man, crazy.
But it's just like a weird chalky soul. I don't know. I kind of believe in Gaia, you know. So
oh,
like,
sure.
Just summon the goddess. That's what I like to do.
Wherever yeah, she yeah, may exactly, be, she's watching exactly. over us. Yeah.
Is that a phrase that people use a lot? I was at some show in New Orleans, and like three different comedians referenced summoning the goddess.
Were they talking about jerking off?
Yeah, I figured that was that's a euphemism,
well,
right?
In a roundabout way, everyone is all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. So there you go. Eliza Skinner,
yes.
You do not live here. Where do you live?
I don't. I live in Los Angeles.
How's that going?
It's okay.
How long have you lived in LA?
For 4 years.
Before that, you were in?
New York.
And you were working on those
electric razors?
God damn it.
Well, last year I was living in New York working on Totally Biased.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. Why couldn't I was like, Kamau Bell Show? That's not
that's,
the name
that's
of
part
it.
Of it, yeah. Yeah. Totally Biased with W. Kamau Bell was the full official name of it. That was on the paychecks. Yeah, so that was last year. And before that, I had lived in LA for a long time just doing improv, just working for the UCB.
That is pretty sweet. Now, Totally Unbiased was a pretty
totally biased.
Oh!
It's okay. It just fundamentally changes.
See, this is why it's not going to stay on the air because you keep calling it that.
Oh, it didn't stay on the air.
Wait, what?
Well, I wanted to ask you about
no.
it. So, Totally Biased. I'm going to edit that out so I seem like I know what I'm
it's
talking
It's on
about.
The FX it's network.
Cool. Well, that's the thing. I was like, where did my favorite FX comedies go?
Mm-hmm.
And then I realized that they... Occasionally like FX because I, oddly enough, watch a lot of FX programming.
They've got a lot of great shows. Always Sunny.
Yeah.
That's great.
The League is fun.
I don't watch those.
Oh,
oh okay.
No, no, I do. But what I'm saying is...
More of a Terrier's
guy. What I'm talking about...
American Horror Story?
Yeah, exactly.
Come on.
I somehow...
Still haven't.
What?
Nah.
Oh, it's so great. I love it.
I somehow got roped into watching their terrible shows. Like, I've seen every season of Sons of Anarchy. For some reason.
I haven't seen it, but my friends love it. I don't know that that's one of their terrible shows.
It's
I might have written for it. No, I'm kidding.
It's I mean, it's entertaining, but it's not good. It's not a good show. I mean, like if its purpose is just to entertain you, then they're knocking out of the park. But if it's supposed to make sense, then they're not really doing a good job. But I remember they'd have little ads for like FXX, and I'd be like, I don't even know what that is. And I watch this network every week. And then I was like, wait, where do my favorite comedies go? Like Always Sunny, Totally Biased, and then...
Yeah.
The League.
The League, yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Like I was like, I have it on my DVR, but they're not showing up. And then, because Time Warner Cable didn't even give us that network.
What they did was they went to the Fox, what was formerly the Fox Soccer Channel, became FXX.
Okay.
So a lot of people were like, I don't even have it. I think a lot of those people actually do have it, but it was such a weirdo, random, deep cable number you probably had never known that you... Because why would you care about... No offense, soccer players, if they're like most of your listeners, but why would you care about Fox Soccer?
Yeah, nobody would.
No. So nobody knew that they had it, and a lot of people just didn't even have it. And it was brand new, and FX hasn't even been around that long. So they to put their brand new shows... I mean... Always Sunny had been around for a long time and was a proven quantity. The League has been around for a little while and is a proven quantity. We had only been around for one season. People liked it, but it was only one season.
Yeah.
And so to take that and move it to their secret channel was like hard to lure people over. And it was a tough transition going from a weekly show to a daily show. Those are totally different worlds.
Yes, yeah, because you did 4 nights a week of the show that you're like...
That no one watched.
Yeah, and that's a bummer because I did watch and I loved it. It was great. But yeah, it was kind of... You could certainly... You'd feel like, oh, the pressure's on now.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I remember watching the first season and being like, oh, wow, they really thought over each joke and you could tell they like really put a lot of time and tinkering into it. And then once you're cranking them out by 4 o'clock every day... There's no tinkering time. It's just go fast.
But what was working on that show like?
Oh, well, it was great. It was, I mean, being in that writer's room with those writers it was amazing. They're like, you couldn't ask for a better staff of writers.
Mm-hmm.
Getting like Aparna Nancherla and Janine Brito, and Dwayne Kennedy, who is just hilarious. Like everybody, like I could name everybody on the writing staff and they're all hilarious. So not only are you doing work that you believe in, that you feel like is not only funny but socially relevant, hopefully, or on a good day, it gets to be both. But it also, the time in between every little bit of actual work, you're just hanging out with the best people.
Mm-hmm.
And making those kind of people laugh is the best. You just feel like a genius anytime I can make, you know, Kevin Kataoka or Dwayne Kennedy laugh, I'm like, well, I'm the funniest person on earth now.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So when your show debuted, or when Totally Biased debuted, it was like sort of paired with that Russell Brand vehicle.
Oh, yeah.
Was the Russell Brand thing first?
Yeah, well, I think it was. I think that was before I was on the show. That was when it was just a weekly show. That show didn't last very long, right?
No, that's what I'm saying.
I have friends who had done a pilot for a talk show like right at the same time for FX, and it kind of ended up being, they didn't know that it was us or Russell Brand's show, but it apparently was them or Russell Brand, and we know that it went to Russell Brand, and we know that they felt vindicated by that not actually working out.
Yeah, I caught a couple episodes of that thing. I think Kamau Bell should get a gold medal for having that as a lead-in.
Yeah.
Yeah, was it just totally crazy?
It was off-putting, is what I'm going to say.
It was like watching like a Pothead's Manifesto every week where he's like, oh, I just read this book on this thing and now I'm going to pretend to be the expert on it.
Ugh.
And so it was just like, I'm going to tell you how it is. It's like, thanks, Russell Brand.
You know, I see people like posting on Facebook like, Russell Brand crushes this argument in 30 seconds, but I've just never clicked on those.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? Maybe he is some sort of savant and not really annoying.
He's
guy.
Really not. He's impressive for what you think he's going to be. He's like, oh.
Yes, that's what it is.
He's unbearable. But then you watch it, it's like, oh, he's unbearable, but he's got a couple points that I align with. I just wish it weren't coming out of his mouth.
Yeah, so, you're like, this guy does not know how to even put his shirt on. He just sticks a vest on and he's like done for the day.
Yeah, exactly.
How could he possibly, oh wait, that argument made sense. Good for him. What a genius. He can make sense.
I'm gonna listen to this braceleted man now. Yeah.
I feel like I get that a lot when I'm ordering at a McDonald's and they bring out the picture menu, but then I show that I can read. Oh. And they're like, oh, everyone look at this ogre.
Okay.
Sorry, sir, no rocks here you can crush with your what's left of your teeth. And I'm like, oh, take what you put past as food, and they're like, "Oh, crazy!" It was my dad's birthday today.
Oh, hi. Happy birthday!
Although it technically still is
happy.
Baby.
He doesn't listen.
No, okay.
He does not listen to this podcast. Eliza and I just did a week at Cap City, opening for Mary Lynn Rice Cub, and Chloe from 24.
Yes,
a show that my dad has watched and enjoyed. And the thing with my dad, and is this everyone?
Mm-hmm.
So my dad's 64, and he's pretty much stopped
caring.
Well, no, he cares, but he's basically stopped committing anything to memory.
Okay.
Like, for example, if he watched the movie Interstellar, he'd be like, that's great. I loved it. And I was like, well, a week later, I was like, who was in that movie? What was its plot? And he's like, I don't know. Like, he can enjoy things at the moment, but is that what happens to everyone? You just see so much entertainment, you stop caring?
Your level of what's worth remembering is just blown by then. Like, you're like, oh, well, I've seen the Berlin Wall come down and my child be born. I don't remember who was in Interstellar.
Yeah.
That's not important enough to put away for me anymore.
Hey, Dad, who's in the cast of NCIS New Orleans? I don't care. I would also, at the risk of bumming out the podcast, like, my dad's going through the same thing, but not because he wants to, just because he's getting old and losing his capacity to remember things. So I don't know if maybe your dad's going through that. Maybe you should write some down.
He's not cared about things for years.
Well, I also think that pop culture is very different to our generation than it is to that one. Like, we're, you know, we follow celebrity lives as though they are. We don't watch soap operas anymore. We watch actual celebrity lives.
Yeah.
And you can't have a conversation with someone if you don't know about Interstellar right now, or whatever your group is like, you know, into. And that's not true for them. They're like, oh, I know about books and politics, or I don't know, horses, whatever the fuck people know about.
Mm-hmm.
You
know?
Yeah, that is true.
One time my grandmother, we were grandmother on my dad's side. It was a big family thing, and my other grandmother was there. And my dad's mom at some point goes, this conversation's boring. Let's change the subject. So I feel like Name of a Horse has got a good chance to win the Triple Crown.
Really?
Yeah, that's what she thought. I was like,
sounds great.
Here's a relevant topic that everyone would have an opinion on.
That is a very old-timey topic, though.
Yes, exactly. Horses, yeah.
Who's going to win the big race today?
Everyone's talking about it.
Bring out your old-timey bathing suits, guys.
Mm-hmm.
If you put a gun to my mom's head, I don't think she'd be able to name all three races in the Triple Crown, which, look, I don't want anyone to put a gun to my mom's head, but that'd be a pretty good vid, right?
Yeah.
Like someone would go, I'll pull this fucking trigger. And then just trying to name the three horse races.
That's pretty similar to the concept of Billy on the Street.
Oh. Zing.
Hey. I think they would agree with that. But my mom is the same way. My mom, I feel like, does it in like a frustrating mind espionage way where she's like she will care so much about someone until I meet or work with them. And then I'll be like, hey, so, I met that guy that you like. Oh, I don't really like him so much anymore. What? What? Come on. What are you talking about? No, that's not fair.
She sets you up.
Yeah, she totally does. She spends years setting me up. And then I'll finally like run into that in a Craig Kilborn or Craig Ferguson. Oh, God. God forgive me for mixing them up.
Why did you feel like you had to walk back from Craig Kilborn?
Well, because whose mom like Craig Kilborn?
Asshole moms.
Yeah.
Some of them had to.
Whoa.
He was handsome for a while.
Yeah, he had his moments.
That was like the tail end of that what's his name? Dances with Wolves.
Kevin Costner.
That Kevin Costner's hot era.
When
tall, thinning, blonde-haired men were still considered hot.
I feel like jerks were in the late 90s, and they're like, yeah, I still like that Kevin Costner, even though he's a jerk. And I still like that Craig Kilborn, even though he's a jerk.
Well, Kevin Costner wasn't even so much of a jerk. I'm just like, how was he ever a sex symbol? He was like sexiest man alive at one point.
Yeah.
How? He was Robin Hood's sexy man and...
All right, in the '80s, he was pretty sexy.
But he wasn't. Like, look, if you go back and look at those photos now, they are just, they're objectively unsexy.
It's like America's Hottest Dad.
Yeah.
But not even.
Yeah, clearly America's moms were in charge back then.
He had pure charisma, though. I'm sorry, guys.
You're not going to stand for this Costner bashing.
I did
not the '80s Costner.
I liked him in Bull Durham. That worked.
Yeah. See, Fandango is one of my favorite movies.
He has the moxie.
And in Fandango, he's just like... You see him on screen, you're like, oh, this is going to be the next Paul Newman. And then you see his other movies, you're like, oh, what happened to the next Paul Newman? And so, yeah, I get your point. But at the same time, I'm still holding on to that memory of 85 Kevin Costner, where he had, like, just the world by his big swinging dick.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Field of Dreams.
We all loved Field of Dreams,
guys.
Yeah,
you guys have dads, right? Yeah. Dudes
exactly.
with dads, you got to like Field of Dreams.
DWD, that's where I am. Dudes with dads.
So my dad, it was his birthday, and I had him... I asked Mary Lynn to sign a copy of the latest season of 24.
Oh, cool.
So it was like to Colby, that's his name. Happy birthday, Mary Lynn, Chloe. And I gave it to him today, and he was like, he did not react at all to the signature.
Aww.
And he was like, oh, cool. This is like a lot of episodes, right? It's a full season. And I was like, but Dad, look, she signed it. He's like, oh, is she on the show? And it's like, I don't remember her character. And I was like... He's like, I don't think I saw episodes with her in it.
She's the most helpful person.
And I was like, Dad, I know this because we watched the exact same amount of seasons of 24 because I borrowed your copies of it.
You know what that is? That's him looking at you out there doing your career and going, one more lap. Come on, man.
Oh.
Come on, buddy. Come on, you got more in you. Come on, keep running. Keep running.
Wait, is it not going to be happy to the Kiefer's autograph? Yep. That autograph's not coming, Dad.
Maybe he's kind of alpha dogging you a little bit, though. You ever think about that?
No, he's not an alpha dog guy. Because here's the thing, you know...
That's what he wants you to think.
Well, guess where we met for his birthday lunch?
Can we really guess?
Yes. It was...
You're not going to let me guess. Lululemon.
I will let you guess. I was about to give a hint, but then I would only help David, so I'll take it back.
Okay. Taco Cabana.
No. Nicer.
Okay.
Taco Cabana, local reference.
Hey! Oh!
Stepping up that regional.
Well, I noticed it because I've driven past multiples in the very short time that I've been here. I'm like, wow, there is a bunch of these places.
We like eating at 4 a.m.
Yeah. That's right.
Clearly.
If you had a spectrum of Mexican food and then there was like a cutoff right here where like a step below is bad, but here's like the borderline for good, that's where Taco Cabana is.
Oh.
So they do like make the food there.
Mm-hmm.
Like you could see them like, you know, actually cooking the chickens and cutting them up, but it doesn't mean it's great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any more guesses?
I have one, but I don't want to.
Don't go for it.
Is it his favorite restaurant?
It's not his classic favorite or the new favorite, Logan's.
Okay, see, that was going to be my guess.
But it's along those lines.
It's Golden Corral.
Ooh, getting closer.
It's going to be an Sizzler? Applebee's.
Getting closer. No, not Applebee's.
Olive Garden.
No, it was steak is the way to go. Where's another steak place?
Oh,
Outback.
Outback.
Yay! Yeah. Bloomin' Onion.
Actually.
He's a big Of Montreal fan, and so he went there because of that song. No, we went to Outback Steakhouse, and he had a couple bites of his burger, and then didn't like it, and then didn't eat it.
What?
Aww. I know.
That's a move my dad pulls a lot.
You know what, though? On his birthday, take him someplace else. Go, we're not going to stop until you're sated.
His choice. I tried to give him some of my steak, and he put it right back. My dad is...
put it right back.
No, I was like, you want some of the steak? He's like, nah, I'm full. I ate a lot last night. And I was like, well, here, have some. He's like, no. I'm like, and I put it on his plate. He's like, have some. And he's like, oh, I appreciate that, but no. He's like, the world's politest man. That's Outback Steakhouse is in the middle of this outlet mall, this giant outlet mall, which is, in terms of like tourist destinations in Texas, it's like in the top five.
So many of them are now. I find it staggering that there's so many outlet malls now that have like hotels and motels around them. And that's where you go. And it's like, you've been to other outlet malls before, right? Because they're all exactly the same now. Yeah. And stores no longer, it used to be that a store would put their overruns in their outlets and be like, yeah, we made too many of these jackets. Nobody wanted them. Now you can get them for $5. That's not the way they do it anymore. Now they manufacture clothes specifically for the outlets, and they're just shittier quality clothes.
Yeah.
And it's not that much cheaper. So it's like, What's the point?
But my grandma loves it. She loves making the trip from McAllen to San Marcos and staying in that hotel.
But I know what you're talking about. I used to go to San Marcos back in the day, the Alamo Mall, before it doubled in size.
Right.
And we'd go to Levi's store and I'd get some jeans with irregular stitching.
Yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then after we're done eating, my lady friend wants to look. Oh, by the way, my girlfriend could not say enough nice things about your set last night.
Oh, that's really nice. She was
like,
great.
She's like, oh, that's so funny. And then would say the jokes back to me. I'm like, I know, idiot. No. But she wanted to go shopping. And so and I was like, listen to a podcast. And I was like, well, I'll stay in the car and listen to a podcast. And run out my car's battery.
What?
It's just like being on my phone. For some reason, like listening to a podcast and playing Two Dots.
So wait. So you sat in your car and listened to a podcast while your girlfriend went shopping?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Whose 64th birthday was it again?
No. I don't need anything in Claire's.
So did Mrs. Lockhorn find something that she liked?
Well, I was going to go with her to Banana Republic, but if she wants to go in, she's like, I'm going to go in this Claire's to get, she's shopping for her family.
Of 9-year-old girls?
Yeah, exactly. Well, no, yeah, she's got two little sisters.
Well,
yeah,
gift certificates to get your ear pierced.
Yeah. Well, cool.
I felt like the need to clarify that because, yeah, Claire's is like not for a lady in her 30s.
She's not going to like that.
She doesn't listen. Maybe she will.
I like ticking off the people who don't listen. It's like having a big board.
Yeah,
like,
my parents don't, my friends, no one.
My family used to until it became a podcast.
Oh, really?
Now they don't anymore. It's too complicated.
It's actually easy.
It's never been easier.
Okay.
The one time this used to be a radio show.
Yeah.
And the one time my parents listened, they went to IKEA. By the way, they called me up and like, we're at IKEA. Maybe we can stop and have lunch with you. I was like, well, I mean, I know IKEA takes precedent. but they listened, and it was for some reason our dirtiest show.
Yeah.
But anyway, I had to deal with that car thing, and then I was in the LM malls for like 4 hours. And so maybe that's why I have Sunday brain. That was a long walk.
You have a brand new car, too.
Yeah, I know. That's what's made it extra frustrating.
That's probably why. You probably flew too close to the sun. You're like, this brand new car can take anything.
Exactly.
It can take 18 hours of podcasts.
Yeah. Which, of all the things that could wear it down, it wasn't like I was like cooking some car corn. this car turkey's going to be nice and basted when I'm done. But what I was going to say is, this is the original Kamau Bell question.
Oh my God. Holy shit.
By the way, so, excuse me, W Kamau Bell. What does W stand for?
Walter.
Wouldn't it be crazy if it was white. Anyway, so he was in Fun Fest, and it was real easy to spot him because Austin festivals are 98% white dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he's also like 6'4".
Yeah, he's a gentleman. That's right. He's a big dude. Yeah.
So what was the sort of getting that job? What was that process like? Did you have to submit a packet or something?
No, most people didn't. Mm-hmm. I went and worked there for a week. They had like people come in for guest weeks on the season before. And I came in and worked during that week. And I pitched a joke that he ended up really loving, and kind of, and it was like as he walked on stage, and they still had this important hold that didn't have a joke in it, or didn't have a joke that he liked, and so I pitched this really last minute, and it was kind of a there's a football thing.
Hail Mary.
Yeah, it was a Hail Mary, and he was like, yeah, that girl. So, and I had a lot of friends on the staff, and I had worked with the head writer before, mm-hmm. And so when they were taking submissions for the next season, mostly that work that I did that week was my submission, but I also, I sent them like some previous stuff I'd written, but I didn't actually write a packet specifically for it. Which is frustrating because I've written packets specifically for a number of jobs and gotten zero of them. So now I'm like, well, nothing, up is down and down is up and nothing makes any sense.
So now you need to like position yourself into every show that you want. Be like, you there.
Yeah, I really feel like people get jobs from who they know, from who you're friends with. Your friends want to, someone likes you, they want you around in their office. They'll give you a job.
Yeah.
That had to feel good though. Like getting that one, been working that one week and crushing it.
Yeah. I mean, I partly feel like, oh, I shouldn't tell people that. But I also feel like, well, I think it's useful information for, you know, that's the way that happens sometimes. Yeah. And you know, it's valuable to, I am much better if, and it's happened to me in a few situations. If I can somehow sneak into an office and just start working, they're usually like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, we'll keep her around. But if I have to go through a submission process, I don't know. I guess I'm not as impressive.
Secret Worker will be the name of that movie.
Yeah, I'll just show up. Any show I want to work on, I'll just show up and be like, yes, I'm a writer here. Don't you remember hiring me?
I do remember that voice, though. Yeah.
This is weird... my desk, this pile of boxes.
That weird austere Kermit. I've never gotten a job that hasn't been through a friend, at least.
My last three or four jobs I've insisted on not working with people I know, because as much as I love the experience that I had working with him and some of my best friends,
that's me
still to this day. I look back on it now, I was like, oh, I didn't get a lot of work done, and I was also drinking a lot.
Oh, okay, so, well, yeah.
And so I was just like, you know what? Moving forward, I don't want to work with people I know because I can't do a good job if I'm working with people I know.
It's a real balance. My last job, I was working at Funny or Die for a while, before I worked there, I would like to get work done. Be like, here's my idea. Can I write it? Great, I'm gonna go write it. There we go, it's done. And a lot of the mindset there was like, let's sit around and make fun of shit and just do bits.
Because something's bound to come up out of this goal.
Yeah, and that's what they would say. And I would be like, whatever, you guys are wasting all your time. I can't stand this. This is driving me crazy. And then I kind of ran out of ideas of things that I had wanted to write and would kind of be like walk past the office that was everybody shooting the shit and be like, what are you guys doing? What's happening in here? And then I would go in there. And then that became really valuable. And I was like, oh, and I got a lot of stuff written out of that. And I was like, oh, okay, so this does work also.
Yeah.
I would go crazy if I was only doing it this way.
Yeah.
You kind of have to be able to do both.
I don't want to hear that.
I mean, do you think.
Yeah. I mean, do you have a preference one way or the other? Like if you had your druthers, like, I just want to be alone and write.
Well, I think that the being with other people, especially for comedy writing, I think that being with other people and doing bits and throwing ideas around, that generates the ideas. And then you go off and you write them by yourself. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to really write with someone else. Like, I don't understand the division of labor. I have a sketch that did pretty well for Funny or Die that I wrote with someone else, and basically he wrote one page of it and then I wrote the rest of it. Like, he wrote like this part and I wrote that part, and but like the, well, I do it and then you do it and then I do it, and like I've done it a few times, but it doesn't really make sense to me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's always weird to me, like collaborating like with Mac on a few things. And this is no offense to you, but I don't like being in the same room with somebody, because it's always like I feel like the pressure's on to be like, okay, should I write the stage direction now? Or you say this line, and then I would prefer it if they said this way instead. So yeah, it drives me crazy. I don't know how you do it.
At some point, we've done like a million different things.
Yeah.
Like, we have sat there and like typed it out line by line before bouncing off each other. But I feel like at some point, someone takes it and has to pull, like, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Someone has to make that, you know, like, even if it's like, this is pretty close to done, you finish it.
Yeah. Or else we'll just be huddled around the computer screen, like, and then what's she going to say? It's like, I'll take it from here. It's all right.
Yeah. I think, well, I think part of it is probably there's no good way, entertaining way to show that in a movie. Mm-hmm. So anytime, all of our framework for how does that happen mm-hmm. for any kind of movie or TV show is people all standing around being like, ah, then she does this, then she does that. Because if they showed the reality, it would just be people silently sitting in a room emailing ideas yeah. back and forth, and it would be boring.
Just every once in a while going, oh, that's good.
Yeah. yeah.
Have you tried doing the old like Barton Fink approach where you just sit on a couch smoking a cigar?
No, because cigars smell like buttholes.
Oh,
That's why I smoke buttholes. Just sit on a giant butthole and do it too.
But besides that, yeah, I mean, I do have a lot of stuff that I've written by myself. It's all just ground out though. I had somebody sent me an email recently and was like, I'm having writer's block. What do I do? And I was like, there's no such thing as writer's block. It sucks to write. It's just sucky. Like anything that you like that someone else made, they had to grind it out. Mm-hmm. Like the best movie, the best book, whatever. No one was like, la da 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 da, typey type type. Yeah, there we exactly. go. It wrote itself. That's all bullshit lies.
I feel like all the pieces of advice that stick with me, whenever I hear them, yeah, I feel like it's something that I should have known or should have verbalized like years ago. Like something that, like a guy who's in a, Dave and I are in a sketch group together, and another guy in there, Lance, was talking to somebody. And Lance was like, well, you know, when I write, I give myself, it's like I allow my first draft to be terrible. Mm-hmm. But I just want to finish it or whatever. Yeah. And I was like, yeah, man. I've written like hundreds of scripts
yeah.
or like little sketches for things. Like, why didn't I ever think about that or whatever? Because it's, I mean, yeah, it is something that you sort of like just have to get through it sometimes. Yeah. I mean, not every time. Because, you know, like, I mean, we don't have to write necessarily for like a weekly show or anything. So there's no pressure on us to like churn anything out. And so, you know, when I write stuff, it's usually more luxury of like, I want to, not yeah. because someone's giving me delicious
It does help having
money.
Someone be like, you have to give it to me at this time or else you don't get to have an apartment anymore. my method is just write some sort of shit that's like in the shape of what it needs to be mm-hmm. and then take it to my group of other writers and read through it with them and then be like, what do you guys think? And then they give me notes and I eat them like a vampire. And then I put all those notes into the script and do it again. Some of the notes I don't use, but for the most part, I'm like, yes, I'll take that funny idea and that mm-hmm. one also and that one too. And thank you. So people getting annoyed or upset about notes is also really foreign to me because I'm like, oh, you mean the diamonds and cookies that the other funny people give you? That's annoying to you? Ooh,
well,
okay.
Well, let me ask you, I mean, have you always been that way or was that kind of a muscle that you had to exercise?
Yeah, I did it at first. At first I was like, but my funny brain came up with this, so it's so perfect.
Yeah.
And then again, I think a lot of it was someone will take my apartment away if I don't
sure.
have this be as funny as possible.
Yeah.
And also it helps working with people that you really respect. Like I could be like, that guy's idea is dumb. And then I see his sketch and I'm like, oh, that's a fucking genius sketch. That was the guy who offered me an idea. Oh, I'm definitely going to take anything else they offer me because I want to take all of their genius and put it in my things and all of this other girl's genius and put it in my things and just everything that's smart and funny I want.
Interesting.
If they're offering it.
Yeah.
I don't steal.
But what if you did, though?
What if I did steal?
Yeah, what if you did steal?
Then I would go to jail.
David, stop trying to convince another guest to steal.
I'm just saying, you know, it's right there.
We're recruiting people for an Ocean's 11 style heist.
Of comedy ideas?
Of comedy ideas. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
We're going to, oh man, speaking of comedy ideas, well, this is not really, but I was watching Key and Peele.
Yeah.
And they had that sketch where, Peele.
Sure. Yeah.
Played Stan Lee.
Okay.
Have you seen that?
Yeah.
He does a really good job. And then I was like,
was it like this past week or something?
Yeah, I think so.
I didn't see this past week.
So. But I was like, how old is Stan Lee? Dude is 91.
Hey.
Wow.
Like that guy, first of all, leave him alone. Like I see that guy, he's like on a convention every week or something like that.
I think
that.
He wants
yeah,
to be.
He likes it.
Duh, man.
He's
91.
Like Freddy. If you don't talk about him, he'll die. Wait, no, it's the opposite.
Freddy. Okay, good. Save my boy,
yeah,
Freddy.
Yeah, I just saw Big Hero 6, and there's a scene in it where the character that T.J. Miller plays, mm-hmm. I don't want to give anything away. But there's a point at which you see this family portrait, and the father is clearly Stan Lee. And me and my boyfriend were both just like, well, that's Stan Lee. This has nothing to do with... Oh, I guess Marvel did create
Marvel,
these
yeah.
characters. Yeah,
yeah, that's right. A very obscure
yeah.
Marvel.
How was old Big Hero 6?
I mean, I liked it. It's a boy movie. I mean, it's just robots and brothers and all that stuff.
Hell yeah!
I'm like, where's the cute animal friend and the princess singing songs? Because I like what I like. But no, I liked it a lot.
Okay.
It was really cute. That Baymax, yeah. Real cute robot.
Was it weird? Oh, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just going to say, I bet a lot of fat people dress up with him for Halloween next year.
Well,
and they'll clean up.
Yeah, we were saying there's probably going to be a lot of like a lot of father baby Halloween costume duos.
Those are the best.
Yeah.
Or the people with their tiny children dressed like Rocket this year, the raccoon.
That's right.
From Guardians of the Galaxy.
You have another one, yeah.
Watching like a trailer for it, and it was weird that was Scott Adsit's voice to me. Like he seemed like a...
Wait, who's his voice? Wait, who's he?
He's Baymax?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, there you go. Were you like, that Baymax, I like him.
Yeah.
Or were you ever thinking like, what a weird choice?
No, I liked him a lot. He was great. My boyfriend made me take a picture with him in the lobby. Like we left, and he was like, "You didn't want to take a picture with him?" And I'm like, "What?" And he's like, "But the Baymax." I'm like, "Okay." And like went back in, and was like, hey, it's me.
"Are you
and the
okay?"
Baymax.
Yeah, it's fine, Liza. There's some dirt on the ground. I got to keep kicking.
Yeah, exactly. This one's in my eye,
the front of my shoe.
Needed to have something as a screensaver on my phone. Is that so wrong?
No, okay, but let's get back to the important point. There's a place I could go where I can get my picture taken with Baymax.
Yeah, the Alamo Draft House.
Oh,
there's also a. What is that place? Gateway 16 had a giant.
Do they really?
Yeah.
They got a giant everything.
Yeah, that's right.
That's
like a weird,
lot of hate for Gateway.
Yeah. That's like a weird comeback to someone. You got a giant everything.
You got everything.
What did your boyfriend think of the movie?
He liked it a lot. He was like, oh, it's about kids who are smart and do robots. So that's pretty much ringing all his bells.
Are you dating a kid?
Yes.
You made him sound like a
Essentially,
kid.
Essentially, yes, I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm dating a younger guy. How old is he? 12.
Yeah. Yeah, he's 11, but he's super good at math, guys. So
he thinks everything's awesome.
All cool about it. No, I'm dating he's a comedy writer and an actor also.
What's his name?
Colton Dunn.
Hey.
Did you really make her do that?
I know. I talked about it already.
Oh, I haven't. This is weird.
Oh, okay.
He is a writer for Key & Peele. I don't know if he wrote the thing that you saw.
Well, if he did, awesome.
Okay, I'll let him know.
Key & Peele, by the way. I mean, man, somebody was talking about sketch comedy. It was Bob Odenkirk or something like that. And he's like, don't do it. But man, it's there's a lot of great sketch comedy shows.
Did you read the actual interview with?
No,
okay.
I did not.
So yeah, because I feel like a lot of people have passed around that quote. And what he's saying is that I think that sketch comedy, like a certain type of sketch comedy specifically, is dying out, which I think he's kind of right, which is like sketches that are just funny for the sake of funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't make any sort of point.
Yeah.
And they don't have any kind of emotional content.
Sure.
Things that do make a point or have some sort of emotional content or just like are a little bit more complicated, that still totally has a life.
Mm.
I think he's talking about things that are just like robot dick punch, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Like that is kind of...
Robot dick punch, that's pretty good though. Can I use that?
Yeah, you can use that.
Okay, sorry.
Ugh.
All right, you laugh now.
America's Next Top Podcast, Robot Dick Punch.
God damn it.
Now in its 48th year.
You know what? That's fair. That's fair. I offered it was like giving him a note.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. And I took it.
And he ate it up and he made it into something. And that's what I do, and that's fine.
Eliza Skinner, after all these years, what do you think of Robot Dick Punch Co.? The Robot
You'd
Dick Punch Corporation.
You'd be nothing without me. So
get ready for those millions of dollars.
I will
build a giant Uncle Scrooge like money bin.
I've been ready for a lot of money for a long time. Is that weird?
That explains your massive debt.
It does.
Any day now, here it comes.
I love gambling.
I thought you have said for a second, I love Amelie.
I do love Amelie.
No, I haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
Why did you say you like it?
How long ago was that? Was that in the 90s?
That was 2005.
Really?
2004 maybe? Yeah.
All right, make a definitive guess.
2002.
And David?
2000. Shit.
No, 2001.
2003.
I'm gonna say one.
Okay. No, you were right with two. This is
there
a fun game.
I looked this up. Amelie came out in 2001.
Oh!
I win everything. Give me back that robot dick punch.
All right, fine, take it. I'll just have to make something else dick punch.
What? No, that's not. You can flood the market.
Cow dick punch.
No, everyone hates you now.
Yeah.
But anyway, at that same Walgreens.
You go to Walgreens a lot.
It's right by my house.
Just like two more blocks and you know you'll be able to find a CVS.
That's true.
Why would you want to go to CVS when you can go to Walgreens?
Because you might not get a staph infection.
Whoa. Is this a thing?
No, she meant STAF. The staff there will.
Oh, okay. Yeah, exactly.
So the Walgreens. Well, we've talked about
please,
this.
Please, no, but please talk about this on air because this kind of blew my mind a little.
Okay. First of all, I remember when Walgreens first came to New York when I lived there.
Uh-huh.
And it was just, you just blended in with all the other drugstores. Same difference. Rite Aid, CVS, Walgreens, no difference.
Yeah, right.
All
the
same.
Eckerd or whatever.
Yeah, you're whatever. And now.
I had to drop the Eckerd in there.
Seriously.
Old man Eckerd's still
like
paying.
Like Ben Gazzara.
You're Dwayne Reed if you're local NYC.
Oh, they have sushi now.
Mm, well, no, the Walgreens in LA is like. There's a sushi bar. There's a frozen yogurt bar. They have a like wine store area attached to it.
And you don't want to go to this.
No, that one's fine. But when I go on the road, Walgreens in every other place is like a tornado just came through, and like they're like on the verge of closing. Like there's like debris on the floor and like empty shelves, and one clearly crazy person working there.
I feel like you've gone to I feel like you've gone to CVS's that have stolen a Walgreens sign and put them over the CVS sign.
I feel like I agree. Like most of the Walgreens are run by
Walgreens are crazy.
Yeah, I mean,
look, like, drugstores are drugstores. We all know
that.
This.
See, that's the attitude. You don't even notice when you're in a Walgreens or a CVS.
Oh, I do notice.
That's why you haven't.
I because Walgreens don't have dingy, gross carpets everywhere like a CVS.
Oh, the CVS carpet
that CVS
is unnecessary.
Carpet.
No, I find it unnecessary.
I feel fancy.
I'm like, what are we trying to do here?
It hides years of medicine splatter.
Yeah.
That just people, the sickest people in America are just getting their goo all
I
over
feel like
carpets.
Walgreens are people who are like, oh, this is a store where I can buy drugs, like the kind that
Walgreens
I get high.
Yeah, Walgreens has like security, like pipe, like the non-city ones or whatever have like corralling fences so that you can't walk out the indoor. Like you have to go through. What is that about? It's like, we know you're coming in here to steal drugs.
Exactly.
We're going to make you walk past our seasonal display at least and see if maybe you want some Halloween candy.
I like their vigilance.
While you steal drugs.
I'll say this. My first exposure to CVS was whenever I'd go visit my grandparents up in Massachusetts. And that would just be run by like weird racist farmers who'd just be like, welcome to CVS. No dackies. But like, but it was clean. But then Walgreens, I primarily go to it at night. And then at night it's scary. That didn't blow your mind at all.
Everything's scary.
That's
at
super
night.
Nice. Not everything. Most things. But anyway, most things are not going inside at night. But that didn't, the fact that Walgreens is like a sushi bar in LA, that didn't.
No, I've heard that for a while. So,
oh.
Yeah.
Sushi bar, sandwich bar. Yeah. They also have this little machine that has a bunch of colognes, and you can just put your wrist underneath it, and it automatically sprays it on there.
Wow.
Here's what I'll say. That would turn me off. That would be like, Walgreens, what are you doing? You're Walgreens. Just stay in your lane.
Yeah, they have like an area for high-end cosmetics that's just like, what? You're Walgreens. Wow. But
have you ever had the sushi from Walgreens?
No, but I have thought about it. But I'm like, I can't buy sushi from a drugstore. What am I doing?
Right.
But that does look good, and the guy is standing right there.
He makes it right there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck me.
Seriously.
I make a joke about Walgreens.
I don't see CVS doing that. They'll probably make a hot dog bar or something.
I have a bit about Walgreens and my act. That's right, bit and act. And when we were in Chicago, I did pass this like two-story Walgreens, and it was like super nice and kind of blew my mind. But
it's
I was
nice
like,
as fuck,
"This is downtown in like the third largest city. They can't all be like this. They're probably garbage like the rest of us in our nuclear holocaust state of Texas."
Toronto's got a nice one too.
I didn't go.
Vegas has a really amazing one.
In Vegas,
right on the strip.
Wow. There video poker in the Walgreens?
I'm sure there is. I think they can't erect any sort of architecture without installing video poker.
All right, that's the thing. That's the thing that makes me go to New Orleans New Orleans, Las Vegas for the first time. Yeah.
I mean, I walked even the Walgreens like on Congress. I think it's not even there anymore.
No.
But when it was there, they used to cut your Achilles tendon as soon as you walked in because just like, look, odds are you're going to bust up the place.
Well, do you want to have a nice twist to that story?
Yes.
Are you talking about the one on Fifth Street?
Yeah.
That was a CVS.
Whoa.
Yeah. See, I'm right. I know I am, guys.
Huh. Well, this is, my
CVS,
worldview.
I don't know. I usually find it a lot nicer. Yeah, people seem to care a little bit.
Oh, speaking of.
Can we all agree on Rite Aid?
Well, they don't have Rite Aids here.
What?
No, it's a two-horse town.
Wow.
Yeah, we're missing out.
Wow.
I know we are.
By the way, Eliza, besides being super funny,
which
I love watching your sets this week, you've earned a special place in my heart because you and I have the same opinion about the movie Brave.
About the movie? Oh, yeah. It's a horrible, weird movie.
Was this done just to gang up on me?
No, but I know. As soon as I heard it, I was like, oh, God, thank you. And I was like, yeah, I'm going to do this to David.
Okay. See, I don't even know if this is worth it anymore.
Who's the hero of Brave?
Merida is.
Okay, so what's her arc? What does she learn?
She's learning how to be brave in the absence.
She's been brave the whole time.
No, she hasn't. She was careless and young and dumb. And she wished. That's like saying, what was Kevin's arc in Home Alone? Because Kevin was just like, I hate my family. And then he's done. He misses his family.
And then he realizes, that he was. Yeah.
No, actually, David's right, because Kevin started out a little selfish, and then he turned his entire family into a fucking bear.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh, no, wait, that was
and
brave.
The bear realizes that the bear was wrong for trying to teach its child to have manners and be respectful and take care of itself.
There's all those moments when other people in the family tried to kill that bear. It was like, it was almost torture in a way.
Because she has to be brave enough to protect the bears.
But at the end, she's never like, oh, you were right. She was like, see, I told you I should be like the shooting arrows and acting however I want. And the bear's like, sorry, I guess I'm a real cunt.
You know,
whoa, they didn't say that. I think we might be thinking of it.
I feel like that was the original draft. And they were like, we can't put this in a Disney movie. Pixar, yes, but now we're Disney also, so we got to tone that down.
I did watch the Japanese version, which was titled World's Shittiest Daughter.
Yeah, I mean, it bothers me a little bit that was made in reaction to criticism, partly in reaction to criticism towards Pixar, that they didn't have any female leads. Mm-hmm. It was always about little boys, and how come they can't have a girl one? Which, I mean, I don't know. Why does everybody have to make stuff for everybody? But whatever.
Sure.
Time out, Hollywood. That one stupid as hell fish was a lady.
Yeah, remember? Ellen's fish.
And then there was another dumb character in Toy Story that was just meant there for Woody to hit on. So I can see how you're wrong.
Yeah. Well, but so they're like, so we'll make Merida, and she'll be great. She'll be a little girl who saves the day by acting like a boy, by having traditionally male, masculine.
You're bringing your baggage to it.
No, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, come on. Her skills are traditionally masculine. I don't need to say that they're like a boy.
Well, that's kind of what the movie was getting at. The movie was getting at, hey, you can be just like the guys. You don't have to be stuck in this whole gender role where they freaked out when she was
the only thing that gets praised in all of these movies. It's acting like you can be. Don't worry, you can still be a cool dude. That's it. For like what about you can also be can you imagine them making a movie that's like a little boy who saves the forest by teaching all the animals how to like listen better and crochet?
Probably.
No, they won't.
Guys can get anything made.
No, but they won't. Like, they'll never have one where
that
teaches little boys that having feminine qualities is okay. And there are kids who definitely need that message.
Sure. I completely see that point, but I feel like you're kind of going around the other point where the family realizes, hey, we've been pigeonholing this girl for too long into being just a girl when she could be anything she wants. We were wrong. She can keep being brave.
I feel like every movie teaches that lesson. Like every cool girl character is cool because she's like one of the guys.
Okay. I don't understand why this movie can't.
But here's the thing.
Well, that's a bummer.
You're
teaching the same lesson. It's not actually like saying, hey, you know, you can be feminine, you can have things that are in the column of traditionally female are still
okay
according to Pixar, which is a bummer for girls.
Okay, that absolutely is a bummer. I get that.
But let's say that it did reach that conclusion, like at the end where her family was like, you're right. What was her name?
Merida.
Is that supposed to be like some weird like America
supposed to be a Scottish
stand-in
thing?
Okay. Yeah. They're like, Merida, you can be whatever you wanted to be. Why'd she have to torture her fucking mom for 90% of the movie, though? But I'm also a sucker for any movie where someone takes an arrow and they split another arrow. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Sure. I like that. But what the mom in Incredibles, which movie I haven't seen recently, she's probably the most badass character in that thing.
Yeah, because she's holding it all together.
Yeah.
I don't totally agree with the original argument that's like Pixar has to make movies for girls.
Mm-hmm.
why.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They don't. Like, you have to, like, make the movies that you like making. I mean, I think maybe recognize that that's what you're doing, that mm-hmm. that's what you're good at, and whatever. And I can understand parents of my, is this a sperm?
Don't. You made a mistake picking that up.
It's really best not to touch anything in this studio.
For folks just listening to the podcast, now watching from outside, we're not, the thing that Eliza picked up is indescribable.
It's a, it's like a fossilized sperm.
Cool.
I didn't make it.
Have you enjoyed your time in Austin so far?
I have. I really like Austin. I was excited to get another opportunity to come down here. I feel like it's like, I feel bad every time I talk to someone from Texas and I'm like, oh, I like Austin. They're always like, yeah, that's what everybody says. That's not where I'm from. And I'm like, oh, sorry. I didn't. Why is that bad?
Are you headed somewhere else in Texas during this swing?
No, just back to LA.
Oh, okay.
I know that, like, Texas is politically pretty terrible, and we got a lot of laws that are not great. Yeah. But at the same time, I don't know, I always feel weird, because it's like, I'm not going to sit there and be like, fuck you, Texas, forever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, here's my thing. I mean, I'm from Virginia, which is technically the South, but usually to people in the South, they're like, not right. really. But it was the capital of the Confederacy. So if we have to deal with that bullshit, then I think we get to also say we make good biscuits, which is what that's about.
That's a weird trade-off, but okay.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, if we have the shitty part of the being from the South, we get to have the good part too.
Yeah.
But the thing that has always stood out to me about the South is that it's where conversations are actually happening politically.
Mm-hmm.
Very often it's where people are actually yelling at each other and trying to figure stuff out. Whereas there are all these other states where laws are being secretly, silently passed and nobody even knows about it. And it's not any better than here. But people, at least here, people are like participating in the discussion. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really promising for the country in general. I'm like, yeah, it might not be going the way that you want it right now, but at least it's, you know about what's happening.
Right.
It is weird to, I mean, because Austin, you know, it's definitely this little pocket of blue. And, you know, the rest of Texas, I got a lot of love for it. But yeah, there's like other parts of it, there's a whole lot of not good.
But even those parts, like, I've never seen those parts. I mean, because I was born and raised in Houston. He's from San Antonio.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to Dallas plenty of times, and they're all their own brand of terrible, but they're not terrible like Orange, Texas is, or like Vidor Tech, like those really out in the middle of nowhere where they just have these giant districts mm-hmm. inexplicably so. And it's like, all right, let's just all band together. Let's just make this corridor of big cities together. And let's make that a state, and then just leave the rest of Texas to itself. Like,
do you really think that that would politically that would be a blue state if you did that with the little band of cities in the middle?
I think it would make it interesting. I mean, once,
because the corporations are always wait a minute.
But I mean, in a vacuum, like if we're talking about the people speaking, then yeah, I would say it would probably be more progressive. I mean, once Houston got a lesbian mayor, all bets were off for me. I was like, wow, I never thought I would see that day. And they love her, and she's getting stuff done. So it's like, okay, well, then there's hope for these other cities.
I mean, I honestly think everybody wants to do the right thing, and everybody has the fundamental, like, I think we're programmed, besides sociopaths and psychopaths,
yes.
I think we're programmed with, I want to be happy. I want other people around me to not be in pain. Mm-hmm. I want to feel like I'm helping people. And it's just the shitty messages that people get sold about pathways to that,
right.
and the fear about, like, well, if you do this thing that's completely unrelated, then, or if you help this person, that person's bad, and that's going to have a trickle down effect to all these terrible things. And so the more we can, like, clear out some of these shitty messages and have just straight up conversations, I think the closer we'll get to everybody just, you know, actually helping each other and having like a productive.
Sure. But you're asking to take a lot out of what has been woven into the fiber.
Oh yeah.
But I know what you're saying though. Cause when I think about it like that, like it's like, okay, well, you know, Republican, Democrat, whoever's in there, their job is to help this work better. And then when I think about all the other stuff that got in there, I know, you know, and you say this to people and they're like, well, yeah, wake up, man. Or like, no shit. This doesn't mean I can't still get bummed out about
it. Oh, sure, of course. That's why I loved and hated the Ted Cruz thing that came out. I forget if it was this past week or the week before.
Which one?
Where he was talking about net neutrality.
Yeah.
And he was like,
what did he think it was?
He thought it was Obamacare for the internet. He was like, hey guys, why should the internet be on the same playing field? And it's like, whoa, whoa, wait a second. You don't understand what you're talking about by this. And then I was reading some comments, you know, just all these think pieces about what Ted Cruz.
Why should we all get the same quality air? That's not fair, right? I mean, if I earn it, I should get better air than you get.
Of course, yeah, exactly. And some people just need better air. We shouldn't hold them back.
If we help the rich people get better air, they'll be more productive, so that the rest of us can, you know, get farts.
We need them thinking clearly, so they could help us. Yeah, but then you would see some of the articles and the comments would have people on the right just kind of be like, yeah, we know he's lying. That's part of the political game, guys.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, that's where we are now. We're just like, you're rooting for the best liar. Yeah, that bums me out.
I also do think, though, that those people are in the minority. Those are like the shitty bullies who, and actually in their real lives, aren't like that. But they think, well, the internet's just like, they think that's just a game that he can play. Well, the internet's just a game that I could play. And yeah, it doesn't, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not contributing to the overall shittiness of and toxicity of all the negativity in our buzzword.
And if I was on the radio, we'd go into Toxicity right now by System of a Down. That terrible song.
Why can't we?
You know, you're talking about Texas, maybe, you know, the conversation and that idea that like Texas would flip blue once whatever that year is when the majority of the population is not white, it's Latino.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's like, yeah, man, then things will get better. That thought, I don't know why, like, once we get these whiteys out,
yeah,
things will get, it's like, that's the worst.
But even that, there's no guarantee because my grandpa is racist against Mexicans.
Wait, but...
Oh, yeah. He hates immigrants. And I was like, you were an immigrant. You're the first generation here.
Maybe he's got that Austin thing where, you know how Austin got lame the second after you moved here.
Yeah, exactly.
Austin used to be cool, like, shut that door. Like, some guy crosses the border and he's like, enough. Stop taking my
job. I'm an American now.
Yeah. I can get my own cotton. Thank you. Yeah. That was a pretty good impression of my grandpa. If you've ever met him, it was really good.
Wow. He's always getting his own cotton.
That's right. He is.
Had that happen. People like clothes a lot in the Civil War.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
Jesus.
Liza Skinner, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Sure, yeah, thanks for having me.
If people want to find out more about you, follow you on Twitter or in real life, how do they do that?
If they want to find out more about me, I've got a website, ElizaSkinner.com. If they want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Eliza Skinner. If they want to follow me in real life, they should call the police and turn themselves in for being a creep.
Turn the cops in, call the police, ask where I am, because they know.
At all times, there's a squad car outside.
I did think that was weird.
Yeah, it was. I just thought it was because Hollywood over here.
our small town mistrust.
That's right.
Where are you from?
Call all for right. Yeah, we're just going to keep an eye on you.
Just in case you try to turn us.
Mm-hmm.
Turn, like a vampire. Full circle. How was that a full circle? But thank you so much for coming on the show. David Hatta, how should we leave the show today?
Oh, boy. How should we leave the show today? How about you and I are stuck in traffic and we just got to break free, man?
Okay.
Oh, this needs to hurry up.
This traffic sucks, dude.
Yeah, it sucks the worst.
Man, I'm going to be late for that baseball game that we're going to.
Yeah, that one we are going to.
That's right, the Alabama Mud Hens versus our hometown.
Austin Babies.
I can't, you know what, I feel like we'd be better off on foot.
Yeah, let's just go. Let's just go.
Let's just get out of here.
Let's break free.
Okay.
All right. Oh, but you should watch out for that train, though.
Wait, what's your...
Mac, you had the tickets.
The Tasty Podcast Network at tastypodcast.com.